Good afternoon.
Hi.
I haven't been here since the last time, so if I remember how everything works, and I'm grateful to be here. My name is Doug Dunlap. My home is in Farmington, and I've been coming here for a number of years, and I'm grateful. I did drive today. One year I walked here, but that's another story for another day. Sometimes my voice drops, and if that happens, just kind of like you're praising God, and I'll know that I'm supposed to speak louder. Or you can just praise God anytime you want. I do want to say that I welcome every single one of you. Each one of you, every single one of you is welcome here today. We live in a world which is a bit more contentious than I would like. Maybe you would agree, I don't know. And it's very important for people to know that they are truly welcome. So I don't know, I know some of you have been here before because I recognize you. Others have been here before and I don't recognize you because I'm forgetting a lot of things these days. But you may be here for the first time. Whoever you are and wherever you come from and whatever your background is, whatever your faith tradition is or isn't, you're welcome here, and I welcome you heartily. So let us go ahead, and I understand the tradition is to begin with the singing of the hymn Church in the Wildwood, which is number 367 in the hymnal, which should be in front of you. And Do we need any more? I know that we have a packed row.
There's a church in the valley.
In the wildwood, no love, the spot in the dale. No squalls is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. To the church in the wild wood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Oh, come to the church in the wild wood, to the trees where the wildflowers bloom. Church in the wild, oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. How sweet on a clear Sunday morning to listen to the clear ringing bell. It's sweetly are calling, oh, come to the church in the vale. Oh, come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Church in the valley by the wildwood, when the day fades away. seated. I know the bulletin says opening prayer, invited to stand. And by the way, wherever it says invited to stand, that is exactly what it means. You are invited to sit or stand as you wish, whatever is comfortable for you. Whenever you see that little asterisk that says you are invited to stand. I seem to be given to singing a lot these days, and because I'm up here and you're there, you can't do what happens at home a lot, which is say, okay, enough with the singing. So, in all seriousness, this is our opening prayer will be familiar to you, and I'd like to sing it. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Hymn sing. You are welcome to let us know the title and the number of a hymn you would like us to sing, and we will sing it. Yes.
487, Amazing Grace.
487, Amazing Grace. And I do welcome all of you to assist. We are the accompanying instrument, oldest instrument in the world. Is the human voice. That is our instrument today. So, you're invited to stand if you'd like. What's the custom, Jenny?
It's up to the individual, the
spirit. Okay, whatever you'd like to do. Sit or stand when we sing Amazing Grace. Who's going to start this?
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangerous toils and snares, I have already come to His grace that brought me saved thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Amen. And again, you're welcome to sit or stand during this, whatever is comfortable for you. I may sit during one of these. So, welcome to suggest another hymn, and also the number of verses you might like. Some people like the first, some the first and the last, some like all. That's up to you, but I welcome whom you'd like to sing next. Yes?
289, Blessed Assurance, first and last.
289, Blessed Assurance, and we will sing the first and the last verses. Blessed Assurance.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. Born of the Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. With me.
16, come thou comest.
Say again.
17, come thou comest.
17, 1-7, come thou.
Time in the service for prayers of the people. So you're welcome to bring before us a name of someone who is dear to you, or a matter in our world, whatever is resting on your heart this afternoon that you would like to have held in prayer. So you're welcome to say a name, say a word, say a matter, whatever you're comfortable with. You're also welcome to hold silently on your heart, in your heart, in your heart, on your heart, any concern you have. Prayers of the people.
I raise a joy. My sister had some testing this week, and it looks like she's going to be able to get off of dialysis. She's been on dialysis for about 6 months, so.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So, your sister?
Yeah, she had a birthday yesterday. She turned 58. Her name's Lisa.
Lisa. Happy birthday to Lisa. Yeah. And what a gift to be off of dialysis. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
I'd like to praise God that Joanne and Malcolm Weber are here today for the first time in a long time, and they brought a whole bunch of their family with them. So thank you guys for traveling and just blessing all of us by being here today.
A very sincere and warm welcome.
It's great to be here. It warms our hearts to see you guys here praising God.
Yeah.
Faithfully.
Well,
I'd like to lift the family of Sharon Albert.
Sharon Albert?
Yeah, they're from... Her family is from from our church, and Sharon died this morning. And so they're grieving, and it's sad to be away from your church family when there's a loss like that. So just let them.
God bless and bless your soul.
Absolutely.
And all of you, praise all of you.
I'd like to praise God. My niece, I've been in the hospital with partial trauma on her leg. And the last report is that she has come through her surgery, and she's doing well, and praise God for that.
Praise God. Your niece has come through surgery for blood clots, and she's doing well. Thank you so much for raising her name to all of us. Raising her to all of us. Yes.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my sister Grace and her family.
For
her
Grace?
Son,
your
Grace.
Sister Grace?
Her son is a disabled veteran. He's paralyzed from the neck down. She's been down
thank you for each person who has come here today, whatever that call, that nudge, that urge may be to come here. We thank you for that call, and we thank them for their coming and their courage to be here. Every person here is a beloved child of God whom you embrace, and we are grateful for that call. You heard the names and the matters, the joys and the concerns which have been voiced. You know as well what remains on our hearts, that which is unspoken, but which we hold so dearly and commend to your care, your word, your way. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to a word prayer. It is printed in the bulletin. And would you please join me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Surely the presence of the
called The Summons, written by a fellow by the name of John Dell of Scotland. And what I'm going to do is I will sing the first verse, and we will all sing the last verse. And as far as the remaining verses, take this home with you. It's all about calling. Each of us is an offering in that sense, so it's very fitting. We are offering special music. So I will sing the first verse. If you know it and you want to join me, you can. If you're kind of picking it up, fine. But then we'll all sing the last verse together.
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name.
gifts and offerings are brought forward, but and you're welcome to stand or worship as Jesus would like to do, as we praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the book of John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 15, and I'm reading from the New International Version. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Peter Simon replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." This is indeed the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please be with me as I offer these words of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth, the words that I speak, and the meditations, the thoughts in my heart and all of our hearts, and then what we choose to do as we go forward from this place, may all this be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Foot washing, good time of the year to put your feet in the water. We have a nice stream down here not too far from us, and there's a pretty good swimming hole in Phillips right by the bridge there if you're looking for a place to go, but there's lots of places now that we're in the middle of July to do that, foot washing. I don't remember the first time that someone washed my feet. It did happen, probably a nurse in the hospital shortly after I was born. Certainly my mother, not very long after I was born.
And that, my friends, was almost 8 decades ago. Newborns don't have memories of things like that. Of course, they do have some kind of a sense, which we still try to completely understand, of knowing when they are held and loved and comforted. Not that they could put words to it, they're not even talking yet. But we do know that newborns know when they are comforted. But when I was 6 years old, I did have a foot washing experience which I have never forgotten. I needed tender loving care from some fairly dramatic circumstances. It's okay now, folks. It's a long time ago. A pot of boiling water on our kitchen stove knocked off the burner and spilled on my bare feet. A boy of 6 running around barefoot and shirtless, of course, on a summer day. And the result was that I sustained third-degree scalding burns on my feet. After an emergency room visit at the hospital, my mother and my father tended my damaged feet day after day. Their tenderness was as much a treatment as the gentle cleansings and the sterile wraps. I think of my mother in terms of foot washing and her own feet. She was bothered by sore feet. In the summer, she would take my brothers and me to nearby Spofford Lake in New Hampshire. We lived in the little town of Chesterfield, two-room schoolhouse, 4 grades in each room, no kindergarten. I'm still trying to catch up. My mother would go stand in the water up to her knees for the longest time. She just liked to go stand in the water and let the cool water sit there, just take it in. And on the rare times we went to the ocean, which is this little town's in southwestern New Hampshire, a rock throw from Vermont, but every once in a while I went to the ocean and she would stand in the cool seawater. She loved the cool water around her feet. Later in life, when I was about 10 years old, she contracted polio and she lost, for a time, the full use of her legs. She did regain use of her legs, for which, of course, we are all so very grateful. During those difficult times, at her request, I would bring her a bowl of water for her feet. Not long before her death, which was about 30 years ago, we brought her to Maine, where my family lives, and we've lived here for decades now, and she asked us to bring her to the ocean. We drove to Sand Beach in Acadia. It was in the fall, and it was one of those warm days in the fall, but it was the beach was not crowded. He asked me to help her get to the water, and so I did, holding tightly to her arm and helping her to walk to the water, and she went into the sea up to her knees, the two of us standing there, that cool water just swirling around her and the waves gently breaking, the two of us there, the sea and the sky, the pines that grow along the shore there, the pink granite, that expansive sand, that rich light. It was a bit of a role reversal from those days of my badly burned feet. As I age, I find myself returning to much that is familiar to me in my life, taking a second look, a new look, looking for a fresh view, what I might discover, what truth or wisdom or beauty or sacredness might be hidden in plain sight. Things that I know where that is or what that's like. I could say, for example, if I get myself up on saddleback, I'm paying as much attention to the little diapensia plants, which is a tiny white flower which grows only in an alpine zone. I'm looking at that as much as I am looking over at Mount Washington that way, or stepping off for that angle where you can see Katahdin on a clear, clear day. I'm doing that with scripture too. Stepping back and looking for what I might discover, again, perhaps hidden in plain sight. So I turn today, this is one of the most familiar narratives in the Bible, the Last Supper. The meal Christ shares with those of his many, many followers we know as the disciples. At this point in the story, there were hundreds, men and women both, who were bringing Christ's word near and far. Christ is with the disciples this night when Jesus would be betrayed to the authorities to whom Jesus' teachings were a threat. Before the night is over, he would be arrested. He would be jailed. The following day, sentenced by the occupying Roman authority to death in that very particular Roman way, crucifixion, which is meant to make a public example, to frighten the public into submission. And so we have the tradition of communion or the Eucharist, which is observed by followers of our faith all over the world. Hundreds, thousands of tongues, people of virtually every nationality, ethnicity on the face of the earth observe the tradition of communion. It's quite remarkable to think about that, isn't it? That in whatever time zone somebody is, at some point in the 24-hour day on a Sunday, somebody in the world is observing communion. But the meal also, but the meal also offers this other tradition, less observed, which is Christ's washing of the feet of the disciples as preparation for what is to come. Christ knows the peril that lies ahead, and he wants to leave with the disciples a very clear example of how one is to live once Jesus is no longer with them in this particular form. So shocking is this act of Jesus washing the feet of the guests, which is a role often left to an attendant. The disciple Peter objects, I've got to be the other round. I could wash your feet, but Jesus carries the day. If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you must wash one another's feet. It's not simply a call to wash one another's feet, though it is that. It's a call to go into the world in servanthood, to wash the feet of the world. In washing the feet of the disciples, Jesus includes the feet of Judas, who will betray him in the hours to come. Once again, Jesus pulls a reversal and turns the world completely on its head. As written elsewhere in our sacred Bible, Christ has come not to be served, but to serve. Oh my friends. In a world that revels in power and control and winning, And it's not what you know, it's who you know, in resentment, in one-upmanship, and one-womanship, up-womanship, new word, win-win-win-win, you and I are called to be foot washers. Pope Francis has revived the tradition of washing feet during Holy Week. The tradition had been there, and at some point it was set aside, and the current Pope, Pope Francis, revived that. In the very first year that he did it, he visited a juvenile detention center to wash feet. This year, he went to a prison in the city of Civitavecchia, north of Rome, to wash the feet of prisoners who were both men and women, and people of a variety of racial and ethnic backgrounds. I've seen the video. I see him cradling the feet of a black woman who has tears in her eyes as the Pope washes her feet, dries them, and kisses her feet. Perhaps the opportunity or even a deep need for you or I exists to wash the feet of another person. Perhaps you care for someone, a person who has frail foot health. It's quite possible. Diabetes, for example, but there are other conditions, of course. Maybe an older person, maybe not. Perhaps you have the rare and life-transforming opportunity, as I have had in recent months, to give an infant a bath, washing those tiny, miraculous feet in the process. But perhaps foot washing for you or for me takes a very different form, not actually with a bowl of water and a towel, but with words of mercy or forgiveness initiated by you to someone from whom you are distant or estranged or having a difficult time in your relationship, or your relationship isn't the relationship anymore. Perhaps our foot washing task is to go to someone in our lives who's actually with us every day to tell this person how much she means to you or he means to you. Perhaps it is to approach someone with whom you or I disagree, seeking to establish mutual regard and respect. I don't know what you face. I know what I face. I think it's fair to say that probably every one of us here has in our life someone who needs to hear from us, someone for whom reconciliation or healing, foot washing, literally or figuratively, is what Jesus calls us to do. When Jesus says, "For I have set for you an example, go and wash." May it be so. Amen. Our closing hymn. Is it in the hymnal, Jenny?
No, it's in the bulletin.
Pardon me? It's in the bulletin.
The words are in the bulletin.
Okay. When all else fails, read the directions. It's hard. I'm a guy. Okay. So, my friends, I invite you to stand again as you wish, if you wish. And we will sing, "Will You Let Me Be Your Servant?" These verses are short. I will sing the first verse so you'll get the hymn, and then we'll start with the first verse again. Okay? So I will sing the first verse to help you see how it goes, and then we will sing the first verse and remaining verse.
"Will you let me be your servant? Let me..."
baby as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. Will you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey. We are travelers on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand up to you, speak the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping, when you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we see this journey through. Will you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too.
Our benediction is a song. Singing benediction.
Day by day.
Go in peace. Amen.